The Postal Service has always delivered the mail, always will. But in recent years, it's grown its package business enormously, mainly to survive. Jim Cochran is the Chief Marketing and Sales Officer and the former Chief Information Officer at USPS. Marketing might not seem at first like a core postal function, but Cochran explains.
The shift now is a little more on e-commerce and shipping. And so we market to shippers. We're running ads right now that market to shippers. And yet at the same time, mail is still a very important part of our business.
And in the marketing, how do you differentiate yourself from the commercial shippers?
So we have some distinct advantages, I think, in the marketplace. One is the fact that we go everywhere every day. We're proud of that. But we will knock on 153 million doors today and bring the mail, or knock on the door. But, you know, bring the mail to 153 million doors. We will travel about 4 million miles today. And that comes with some very unique capabilities that really differentiate us in the marketplace. So my competitors are very strong in the B2B world, business to business. That's a core competency of theirs. Yet when it goes out into residential areas in particular, that's our strength. We can do it more efficiently than anyone else. And in fact, they do use us for delivery.
Talk about the ways that you do advertising. Is it print display? Is it digital? All of the above?
Yeah.
And what are some of the strategies?
Well, we're like any other large U.S. company. We have a digital component to our advertising. We're buying, you know, search, SEO. We're doing social media. We're doing banner. We're doing video. At the same time, we run TV media. We run commercials right now. And then at the same time, we are running magazine ads. And, of course, we're very bullish on and very proud of the fact that we use a lot of direct mail to reach our customers, because the close rate on that is improving all the time.
And on some of those TV and media advertising, how do you pick voices?
Well, I think there's a secret out, I guess, but I am the voice on the current commercials. I guess it comes with being Chief Marketing and Sales Officer, and it was a lot of fun to be locked in a sound booth, and it took me only 17 takes to do about 10 seconds, but my background was failing me. I had a little challenge with the word our. I kept saying R. You know, your business is our business. When in reality, that's how we say it in New York,
right?
New Jersey, where I grew up. But it's your business is our business. So it took me a while to figure that one out. But you're a professional, so you wouldn't understand the challenge of being an amateur doing that kind of voiceover.
Well, I used to call a spherical orange colored fruit an orange, and I was told, no, it's not an orange, it's an orange. All right, okay.
they correct you,
yeah.
Right, exactly.
All right, so getting back to the advertising strategy, I mean, what's the process of planning it every year, and how do you decide where and what you need to market?
You're targeting, so if you're running it to consumers, so if you're trying to market to consumers, it's a different play than if you're marketing to business. Right now, we're in the middle of a business cycle. We're marketing B2B. We're trying to, our commercials that we're running now, our ads that we're running now, our mail pieces that we're putting out in the mail stream, are directed towards business owners and business decision makers around shipping in many cases. The ads we're running right now on TV are about e-commerce, and it, you know, stakes a claim that we are the largest e-commerce delivery company in the U.S. And the fact that, you know, we support the growth of e-commerce in many ways, whether it's the Amazons of the world down through some really small eBay traders, and they're all important to us. And as we say in our tagline, your business is our business when we do that.
Now, your title has sales in addition to the marketing piece. And tell us about the sales force or the sales effort that, as distinct from marketing, that the Postal Service does.
So we have traditional marketing components, people that are doing the science of marketing. And at the same time, I do have the sales force responsibility. We have probably a little under 1,000 people that are out there working with our large commercial customers. Whether it's on the mail side or the shipping side. And then there's a business service network where we support them, the customer service aspects. And we're out there selling mail solutions, talking about the value proposition of using direct mail and the customer acquisition and customer retention, customer relationship management. And then at the same time, they're out there selling priority mail as a solution for e-commerce shipping. So it's a pretty diverse opportunity for people to sell.
What's the biggest difference between e-commerce when it comes to business-to-business deliveries and business-to-consumer deliveries?
I think the big growth in e-commerce has been driven by business-to-consumer. And that's a tough place to deliver. The efficiencies are a real challenge for the traditional delivery companies in the U.S., FedEx and UPS.
They're out of capacity at this point.
Well, there's core metrics, right? So if you're a delivery company, deliveries per hour, deliveries per mile are very important. Deliveries per stop are all very important metrics. And they all take a bit of a hit. E-commerce growth is certainly a real phenomena here in the U.S., but it's a headwind for some of the other carriers, I'll say. Now, for us, we're traveling 4 million miles. We're going to go to every door every day. So adding packages to the mix just makes us a little more efficient, helps offset the cost of what we call universal service obligations. We are required 6 days a week to go to every address in the United States, and it's something that we're proud of. It's core to who we are, and I think that more and more, the shipping business helps cover the cost of that infrastructure. All the magazines, the catalogs, the mail pieces, everything has to pay for that infrastructure. And it's an expensive proposition for us.
How do you think you compare in terms of infrastructure, the big centers that process packages and mail, the capacity and number of locations that the Postal Service has versus those that are operated by the FedExes and the UPSs?
We have a lot more sort centers. We're probably they tend to regionalize their big sort centers, and then they have local delivery centers. We have a little over 200 sort centers, large processing centers, a couple of 100,000, all the way up to 1 million square foot buildings that we originate things, as we call it. We collect things. Everything that comes out of a mailbox and out of a post office every day gets to one of these centers, and we process it and move it around the country. And then, of course, there's the delivery aspect, you know, 31,000 retail points and so there's a ubiquitous nature of our retail presence, which is, you know, significant. And at the same time, our processing center is probably a bit more expansive than our competitors. But we do more than they do. We'll probably process deliver today probably about 300 million pieces. And so, you know, the combination of mail and shipping makes us a little bit different than them.
Has Amazon really changed this whole market the way people think that it has?
Definitely. I mean, I think that what they've changed is customer expectations. They've changed the customer experience. You know, I tell a story, and I was driving one day, and I stopped at a long light on a highway, and I took a look at my phone, and I had a message from Amazon, and I hit the message and bought something. It was the deal of the day, and it was a good deal. So I hit the button buy now and put the phone down, and then I was, you know, waited for the light to change, and I put the car back in drive and drove away. And then I had this, you know, kind of epiphany that I had just shopped at a red light, and that's what Amazon has done to the commerce in this country, and it really does significantly change, and it changes the expectations of delivery time. Now, we have products here that where Amazon, you know, interacts with us is at the local level at a post office, and so do UPS and FedEx. They bring us packages, and we deliver, you know, hundreds of millions of packages for the two of them. And it's good business for everybody. But I do think that it creates pressure on other retailers to match that experience. And at least the ones that I'm all talking to, they're all trying to get a little closer to customers, trim some time in transit down. You know, when I first got involved in the shipping business, it was, you know, 7 to 10 days was fine. Now it's 2 days, it's 3 days. Everything has to be delivered.
And that's not 1910 in the Sears catalog delivering to the prairie.
Right? Yeah, 1 to 2 weeks, right? But no, now it's 1 to 2 days.
And I have to ask, are you looking at drone technology at all at the Postal Service?
We have a engineering research and development group, and it's full of a bunch of bright guys and gals that are always looking at technology. So, you know, I think that TSA came out recently with, wasn't TSA, the
FAA.
The FAA came out recently with some regulations that I think put a little bit of a damper on drone.
You have to
drone
be able to
technology.
See the drone from
yeah,
where you're standing, so you can't deliver across town with it.
But, I mean, look, we take mules to the bottom of the Grand Canyon today to deliver mail, and maybe drones would be a better solution than mules.
Getting back to the technology question, and you said you're looking at drones, and who better than the propeller heads to look at possible use of drones, but you were the CIO of Postal Service.
I was.
So you have a good idea of what technology is capable of. What's the interaction between marketing and developing products and knowing the underpinnings that the technology is capable of giving to create new products?
Well, I think technology and marketing go hand in hand. Marketing has become so sophisticated relative to the analytical nature of marketing. And it's all about data. And so when I was CIO, one of my prime missions was all about data, improving the quality of the data, improving the ability to move data around, improve the timeliness of data, take out latency in data, knowing more about our customers, knowing more about what their needs are so you can improve the customer experience. We are a pretty robust technology company. We probably have one of the larger footprints of I'll say, like, our point-of-service terminal, over 100,000 point-of-service terminals around the country.
And that's a program that started, I think, was called POS back in the POS, late 80s.
Yes. But, you know, once again, as far as the amount of data, we're probably approaching 30 petabytes of data, which, you know, people say, what's a petabyte? I just say it's a lot. It's a lot of data. But, I mean, once again, robotics. You walk into our processing centers, we got robotics sorting some of our trays and containers, and we continue to look at that. I mean, we're looking at vehicles right now of the future, and you can't talk about replacing a fleet of vehicles without talking about the potential for autonomous and some of the driver-assisted technologies that are out there to just make everybody a little safer and everything. So, yeah, our current CIO, Kristen Seaver, is just came into the role, and she's doing a great job, and she's got a tremendous operations background, knows our business. I think that's an important thing in our business is that the people need to understand the business. I tried to do that as CIO, is make sure all the people that were engineers that maintained the systems and the security of the system and everything else also understood the business ramifications of everything that they do and the business results.
And I wanted to ask also that question, though, of if you can conceive a new product, do you work with technology to say, can you build this for me? Whether, I mean, they had to build tracking. At one time, they built handwriting recognition and so forth.
Yeah.
Are you looking at things that if only the technology could, or if only the technology shop could deliver this, then I could offer this XYZ to these customers?
So we're always open for emerging technologies. I think that, you know, mobility is an interesting one as far as the applications. And I know you spoke to Gary Revlin, who's been leading our charge on informed delivery development, which is an app that we're pretty excited about that one because it brings what's going to be in your mailbox to your phone in an interactive way so you can see what's going to be delivered and at the same time begin the shopping experience or the learning experience. And so,
does that have commercial applicability, do you think, down the line?
Yeah, I would think that every retailer, I mean, if you're a retailer, you want people to come to your site. You know, one of the phenomena that we do see is mail is getting a little lighter. There's less pages in a catalog. They want to get your interest. They want you to go look online. And that, so catalogs and mail do drive an e-commerce experience, a digital experience. We say the physical to digital. The reverse of that is the digital to physical, is now that people are shopping online, more and more people are using mail to find those customers that aren't buying. If you abandon a shopping cart, don't be surprised if you don't get a postcard in a few days with an offer on what you abandoned. So it's all
you
part of this.
Get email whole, on what you abandoned.
Sure, but now you're going to start getting a mail piece that
from
cuts through some of that email. I mean, digital marketing is effective, but it can be, in some ways, it can overwhelm you. I mean, think about what Google did with Gmail. It separated your promotions from your primary. And so you end up with a couple of hundred promotions a day and a lot of emails you're getting, and it's hard to cut through that digital clutter. Mail does that. So we think there's a real value proposition to mail as a way to get your attention because I don't know about everyone else, but I go home and I pull in the driveway and I get the mail and I go in the house and I let my dog out and then I have my mail moment. I sit down and I go through what's in the mail today. And I spend time on it, and I look at it. And I don't do that because I work for the post office. I'm a consumer. I'm seeing what bills I have and hopefully what checks I have and maybe what, more and more, what marketing is in my mailbox, what is going to drive me to my tablet or my phone or my computer to make a purchase.
It strikes me that, you know, the first wave of e-commerce, it was a totally separate channel. And so you had the brick and mortar, and then you had the digital. And now digital retailers and even wholesalers are beginning to build brick and mortar. And everyone that was brick and mortar, of course, has the online. It seems like it's all coming together in kind of a third commercial wave that this time postal seems to be sitting astride.
Well, when e-commerce first started, there were pure play companies, as they called them. And then there was the brick and mortar stores that had a digital aspect or a website. But you're absolutely right. There's a convergence going on here. And you'll see, you know, Amazon and Apple's, you know, back then were purely digital. Now they've opened stores. You know, Amazon's got a bookstore in Seattle now that they've opened. And So I think you'll see more and more of that. I think retail, as we know it, I think the challenge is that the retail brick and mortar, a lot of the big premier brands are closing stores and closing outlets, and it's because of this phenomenon of e-commerce that brings a level of convenience. I mean, I'm a big guy. I'm a tall guy. So I love e-commerce shopping because it's easier for me to get size, you know, my size shirts and stuff, as opposed to walking in the, you know, a local retailer.
All right. And I want to get back to a particular technology, which is the tracking. And tracking has become pretty much the expected way, and everyone tracks. UPS, USPS tracks, and also the competitors. It seems expensive, and it seems like a lot of activity, and yet it doesn't change the outcome. It merely tells people about the outcome. Mm-hmm. So what's the ultimate utility of tracking, really, in a hard metric sense for someone who's receiving something?
Well,
I mean, I track everything, you know, yeah. Every 10 minutes. I follow what street it's on, but that's just me.
Well, I'll use Uber as an example. Uber has changed the perception of how people think you see the driver coming at you, right? So we have tracking, and you can see where things are. We haven't put it on maps yet. We could. We know where the carriers are. We know what boxes are in what vehicle. We
may
do
not
track
want to
the
advertise
vehicles.
That because somebody could stop the truck and rob it, I guess. Or?
Yeah, you were always concerned about employees' security. But I think tracking is about anxiety. It's about we've done – and the industry in general, but there are research that's been done, and they call it WISMO, where is my stuff kind of anxiety. And it tends to trigger it right now at about 3 days. And I think that time frame always shifts. But there's a level of comfort you get. All right, it's been shipped. Oh, it's in L.A. It's in the airport. Oh, it's arrived in Northern Virginia, or it's arrived in Washington, D.C. It's out for delivery. It's on the street. It's with my carrier. So those are all to calm the anxiety. So you don't do something like go cancel your order or call a call center. So if you're a retailer, they don't want you calling them three times saying, where is my package? They'd rather you see that and self-manage that experience yourself. So tracking, hey, people track pizzas being made nowadays. So I think it's just part of who we are. I track everything that I buy.
Let's get back to the beginning, 41 years at the Postal Service. Do you have a sense of where this is all heading, say, 5-10 years down the line? I mean, every time we get to one of these inflection points, nobody could have imagined it.
Well, we try to do a lot of strategic planning. I'm as a member of our executive leadership team, I am engaged in a lot of those conversations, a lot of those studies. We will still be a very viable part of the U.S. economy in 5 years, 10 years. We are a $70 billion company, so rumors of our demise are much exaggerated. There was a lot of technology over the years that we're going to, I think, in fact, I wasn't around when they created the telegraph, but I'm sure the telegraph was going to kill mail. I was around when faxes came out, and faxes were going to kill mail, and then the internet was going to kill mail. And we continue to adapt, and it fits our business model more and more. So I do think we'll be delivering a lot of mail in 5 years, and we'll be delivering more packages. I think that growth in e-commerce is not going to slow down. And so, you know, our capital investments in many ways, and as we look at the future, are geared towards the customer experience and ensuring that we continue to meet the customer's needs in the marketplace. And there are two customers for us. Every U.S. citizen is a customer. And then, of course, the senders, the mailers and the catalogers and the retailers and the e-commerce companies are also customers. So you got to constantly adapt to the changing requirements. We talked before about the customer experience and how Amazon has changed that. And it's on us to continue to drive a very efficient delivery network so that we can continue to have attractive prices in the marketplace. That's always important. And yet a high quality of service.
Jim Cochran is Chief Marketing and Sales Officer at the Postal Service. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.